meow, 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 meow. Yeah, it's going to sound even better when I get my new fabulous rack mount effect system that that I just decided I had to have. You know, it's radio doesn't use that. Radio doesn't have it. But I'm going to use it, and it's not going to be Morning Zoo Crew. It's going to be a beautiful thing. I'm going to use it like an instrument. And it's got two different pedals to control two different presets that you can set up ahead of time. And I'm going to have foot pedals for my radio show. That's how cool it's going to be. So DJ and I got back a few hours ago from our 27-hour journey home from New Hampshire. And it was glorious. And I love New Hampshire. I spent a lot of time there as a kid, but I spent a lot of time there as a kid surrounded by stoned hippie nudists. But this week we spent it surrounded by stoned hippie nudists who were carrying guns and knew they couldn't vote themselves into more freedom. They knew there's this new breed of hippies. They're like hippies that understand economics. I love it. It's a beautiful thing. And I'm not going to do a lot of talking tonight. I'm going to play something that's pre-recorded. I'm just going to do a little intro about Porkfest right now. Tomorrow night, Derek J and a little bit Lusander is going to call in. A little bit of Lusander. A lot of Lusander, as much as he wants. I love Lusander. I finally met him. I met him. I met Derek J. I met Ian Freeman. I met Mark Edge. I met Sean Diwali, the Torrent Master, the Bit Tortoise. I met Diana Kyler. I met her cool boyfriend, Christian. I met all of the fiends except for Randy England, who wasn't there, but he still did a show from there, which is pretty cool. And Jack Johnson was not there. But it was an amazing time. And it was, New Hampshire this time of year is just this wash of green, whereas Wyoming is very Spartan and sparse or sparse. I love it's Spartan. There's people here who'd like to be Spartans. But I met Nikki Darling. I met Davi Barker. I met all my friends from the internet. I met a lot of Fiend fans. A lot of Fiend fans like were standing next to me talking to me and didn't realize it was me. And they were like, oh, you're Michael Dean. I love your show. I didn't recognize you. You have the voice of a much taller man, a taller and thinner man. I met Garrett Fox. I met his girlfriend, Annie. I met Ben Stone. That was the coolest thing in the world. I met Tom, Lou's cool friend. I met Chandler. I met Bill Bupert. I danced erotically with Bill Bupert at the big gay dance party. You know, that guy that that hates Porkfest and thinks that Porkfest and my Guns and Weed movie are responsible for the downfall of Western civilization, that guy from Accuracy in Media. I think I'm going to have to send him the picture of Bill Bupert, like, kind of humping my leg like a dog at the big gay dance party with a gun on his hip. It's pretty awesome. I think that would just make that guy's head explode from Accuracy in Media. Cliff Kincaid. Oh, such a glorious time, man. There were no cops. No cops, no laws. No one got hurt. No fights. It was a beautiful thing. I met Larkin Rose. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I met so many people. If I'm forgetting anybody, I apologize. We're very sleepy. Returning to homeostasis in our homeo. And they lost our luggage last night. We spent the night in Denver. Had to go back to the airport this morning to get the luggage. United Airlines. Yeah, that's my plug for United Airlines. Almost missed our plane in Newark, New Jersey. There's few places I'd rather spend the night than Newark, New Jersey. I think it'd be like jail and then Newark, New Jersey. Gitmo, jail, and then Newark. They're very similar. Yep, and you know, usually when we're here, we're going to little shops like, you know, Cowgirl, Cheyenne's, Decoupage, Moose Art. And in New Hampshire, we got to go to Granite Gertie's Decoupage, Moose Art or something like that. There's mooses both places, but so beautiful, man. I just can't get over how fabulous it was. I met Cindy Stone. I met everyone's girlfriends or boyfriends they brought with them. with them. Somebody passed out at a Fiend show. And, you know, usually when people pass out, they, like, you know, draw stuff all over him or do something destructive. We just put Fiend's buttons on his shirt. We anti-stole. We gave him things and took pictures. We actually did that to five people because a lot of people sleep in the media room where we do the shows from. You know, like people that don't have a hotel or don't have money for a campsite or whatever, don't have a sleeping bag, they sleep on the couches in the media room. And this is the first year there's been a show that's 1 a.m. to 3 a.m. Usually they're asleep by 1 a.m. All the little hippie punk, armed hippie punks. It's so sweet. They go to sleep and they look like little sleeping babies with their guns on. And this year we were loud. It was kind of funny too. It was I've always said that in Libpear, like, I've been living in Libpear for a week, man. We've been living in Libpear. Like, this was not theoretical. This is not on the internet. This is what it'd be like. And I really think we can get to Libpear by having more festivals all over the country until there's more festivals than there is state. It'd be a cool thing. I don't think a cop would dare go into Porkfest. So many armed people. I don't know that he'd get shot. I think he'd have about 50 video cameras shoved in his face, and they'd be like, what the heck are you doing here? But not so radio-friendly. So, yeah, Libpear, like, I've always said, like, you know, Libpear, I'm a pretty quiet guy. I'm a pretty quiet neighbor. But I've always said, yeah, Libpear would be a lot noisier, man, but it'd be worth it. I'd put up with it. But the funny thing is, I'm the only person I know of at Porkfest who got a noise complaint. Because, you know, Free Talk Lives puts the speakers out the window when they do their show so people can hear it. But their show's over at 10 o'clock, you know, East Coast time. And our show's over at 3 o'clock. It's 1 to 3 East Coast time. And we had the speakers out the first night we did the show. And we got people were texting us and we were about to do it. And some guy came up in his pajamas, like rubbing his eyes, like, can you guys shut the windows? All right, so I'm going to play this pre-recorded interview because I'm still like recovering and like editing stuff and getting back up to speed in my nest here with my wife and my cats. Oh, by the way, the cats, like, they were insane. They were like, who was that guy you left us with? He was nice and he fed us, but he's not you. We don't know you. We don't know him. We don't know you anymore. Who are you? Who are you people? But they're getting acclimated back to us. And it's a beautiful thing. As I said, everything's a beautiful thing. So I'm going to play some of this interview here. And it'll explain what it is. It's about the internet. We like the internet, so here we go. So this is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and I'm doing a chat with Terrence. Do you have a website you want to give out, Terrence, or is it still under
TerrenceGillespie.com? TerrenceGillespie.com.
Okay, cool. And you, you're hiring me to do some consulting on specific questions.
Yes.
And we have a series of questions that we have an hour set aside to do, and I'm psyched about that. So go ahead. I'm gonna have you ask them because I may lie down so I'm not hurting my back. I've been having back problems. It's getting a little better yesterday. I went and got a massage yesterday, but
okay.
So you're gonna,
well, just in case anybody else listens to this,
yeah, so they can hear the questions too instead of me.
I think this is a very useful list because I think anybody would be very curious about these answers.
Yep.
And as I was coming up with these questions, I started out with about 35 of them. and about 15 Freedom Fiends podcasts later, it was half of that. And so you answer a lot of these questions. If people would listen to you, put out a lot of this information.
Yeah.
And so we've got it down to 10 here. And I'm absolutely sure that the answers to these, from my point of view, not yours, are not obvious. I think from your point of view, they are. But perhaps we have a universal question list here that many people are curious of, especially of the freedom-minded type.
You sound pretty good. I want to ask you what mic you're using.
I did a little bit of research there, and I bought the Blue Yeti mic.
Cool.
Blue Yeti.
That's a decent
And I read,
mic.
Once again, you know, really good preparation from reading your stuff in advance. I read your article about prepping radio hosts.
Cool.
And have disconnected all noises, have given instructions to people around me. I don't have the pop filter, but I'm talking off of it.
Yep, it sounds
good.
Until
I get the pop filter and all that stuff, so it's all good. And
if you ever want to call in on Skype on our nighttime show too, we do take we don't take calls on phone because they sound like horrible. They sound not going to cuss, but they sound horrible. And people who call in randomly on nighttime shows tend to be insane and drunk and cussing. So I take calls only on Skype, only on the nighttime show, And I've added you on Skype. So if you're ever listening and want to Skype in between 11 p.m. and 1 a.m. Wyoming time, that's the place to do it.
Oh, that's actually a good time for me, and I'll keep that in mind. Yeah, very exciting. I love it.
Yep. All right, what's your first question, sir?
Okay, first question is, well, the background material for this is I'm setting up a website as an author. My conclusion after much thought and debate in my own mind is that instead of making a brand, authors eventually get to theirname.com and just cut to the chase and make it myname.com.
I think you should. I think a thought I have on that is Terrence Gillespie is a hard name to spell if you don't know how to spell it.
Yes, it is.
Maybe T-Gill or something, T-Gill.com, something like that.
Interesting that you say that because I tried all sorts of combinations that made any sense.
Yeah.
And couldn't get any of them.
Did you try them in .net or .org or .dot anything else?
I was going for the glory and one at the .com, so I can't say that.
I would look at something like tgill.net.
Okay.
tgill.org. And you should do that today after we're done, before I ever put this up on the internet in a week or two, so nobody steals it.
Very interesting. And you don't think that if there were theoretically this thing grew, that someone would just not get the .com and steal my traffic or that sort of thing?
You know, I don't think there's as much value to a domain name as people think there is. And I get a lot of traffic on a couple of mine. But here's the thing. If people are devoted fans of something, they'll find where it's moved to. And more so than that, they'll know the fake site. You know, like let's say, you know, you end up at Stephen King levels. You know, if your domain from the beginning was sking.net and all your fans knew it, and it was on all your books, and some Yahoo starts a site that's stephenking.com, everyone's going to know it's not him.
Yeah, that's very wise advice. I've heard you say that in previous podcasts, so I totally agree. I'll check it out. Let me get on. Yeah.
I mean, freedomfiends.com is a kind of difficult. Most people don't know what a fiend is and can't spell that word. Most people over 30. And this is Michael Dean. We're going to the ads now. We'll be back with more after the ads. The wonderful things.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Greetings, fiends. This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. So we're going to continue this interview here. Me being interviewed by Terrence Gillespie. Here we go. Don't know that that's slang for fiend, but generally stuff ends up linked. I mean, you do stuff on radio and you say, go to freedomfiends.com, but then I get to spell it out. That's freedom, foxtrot, echo, November, sierra.com. And it kind of becomes a hook anyway. So I don't think it's that important. I would go for shorter and easier to remember than the canonical, you know, yourname.net. I guess I would get the yourname.com anyway. You already have it, right?
Yeah, I've already got it.
I would get that and have it, but I would make the main site like tgill.net or tgill.com or .org. I would not go with .info or .me or .anything else. Yeah. I think that's just a big scam to sell more domain names.
And they charge more for them, too.
They charge
more.
Yeah, like a .fm is like $100 a year or something. I would just go with tgill, you know, not without a dash in it, if possible, and see if you can get that.
Okay, I'm going to follow up on that. So because we're on the subject, let me fast forward to a question down on the list. Does it cost you SEO points? Does that matter? And should I? Those are three kind of questions, but they're all in one. If you have related, like TerrenceGillespie.com, tgill.nut, tgill.org.
.nut? Did you say .nut?
Tried to say net, but yeah, there we go. Nuts. Does it matter? Does it cost you points? Is it bad for you? Is it bad for the world?
Okay, let me.
If you collapse all of them into one.
I just looked. TGill.net is not available. TGill.com is GoDaddy has it, like, parked. You might be able to get it from them for not a lot of money. Who knows? But TGillBooks.com is available. you might want that.
Okay.
But, yeah, look around later and, like, really get one. I mean, the site you had before, Your Optimum or YourOptimal.com or .net or whatever. Yeah. I know why you had that, but it was a really awkward domain. You know, you have to picture like someone at the water cooler at work or someone out at the rifle range saying, check out this website. And you want to have a website that's memorable enough and short enough that someone can remember it without writing it down until they get to a computer.
Yeah.
And TerrenceGillespie.com, I couldn't even spell that. There's several variations of the spelling of the name Terrence, and Gillespie, I think there's only one, but it's, you know, it's Italian, and most English speakers couldn't spell it right off the top of their head.
Okay, so what's going to happen here? Maybe I stumble on one of these combinations that is free and is shorter. I will obviously make TerrenceGillespie.com
point.
Go,
you should make it point to point the other to one. Yeah.
I should do that, but does that cost you SEO points or anything? Is that a bad thing in any respect?
Okay, here's the thing about SEO. It's bunk at this point. I really believe that. There's a lot of people out there making a lot of money selling snake oil. It used to be that there were tricks you could do with, you know, how you had your domain name, what you did with links, how, you know, whether links were numbers or letters or words, putting keywords in stuff on the page.
Yeah.
All of that stuff doesn't matter anymore. It's all out the window because basically Google is really smart, and Google's the main one. I mean, some of that stuff may work on some of the other, you know, Yahoo or whatever the other ones are, but, anyone that 98% of the traffic probably that people get from search engines, to go to sites comes through Google. I mean, there's maybe Yahoo a little bit whatever Microsoft's thing is a little bit, but Google is the, you know, 9 million pound giant in that field. And what Google does is as soon as they figure out what people are doing with SEO, they make it not work.
Because so they reverse engineer it and they become immune to all the black hat technique.
Yeah. So what they're interested in, and most people like selling SEO, you know, they're doing what worked like 2 months ago or 2 years ago. And the thing is, like, even if they find a trick that works for a little while, sometimes when Google finds that, it not only doesn't work, but it poisons you. It lowers your ranking. And what I have found, the best way to get people to your sites is to have good content and update it regularly, period.
Yeah,
that's a lot more important than any tips or tricks you can do.
See, Michael, that's why you're worth the big bucks and the freedom-minded people love you. Just that one phrase,
the
SEO
big silver
is bunk.
The big silver.
You'll say it.
Yeah.
I think silver.
That's you paid me in silver, and it's going to be my mad money at Porkfest.
I love it.
Buying organic beef dogs and hemp purses for my wife with it at Porkfest.
Good. And people love those buffalo coins, too. So they'll accept them.
Yep.
I was partially hoping you'd use part of that to buy a...
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hello, groovy guys and kitty gals. Are you still washing the pine fronds off you after Porkfest? You can do that, but you'll never wash Porkfest off, man. It's with you. It's in your soul. It's in your blood. Can't get it out. It will pass through generations even. All right, so we're going to play more of this interview with Terrence Gillespie and I. And tomorrow, we have Derek J. and Lusander Fien and I talking about Porkfest. It'll be awesome.
ProtoShares, once you brought me up to speed in BitShares, I was very excited about
that. Oh, they're paying me in ProtoShares. I don't need to buy them. I mean, I'm not getting them free, but I'm doing consulting work for them.
Sure.
And they're paying me one quarter in Bitcoin and three quarters in ProtoShares.
Oh, Oh, music to my ears. That's fantastic.
Yep.
All right, let me go on to this first official question here. I'm currently on DreamHost. That was a previous recommendation of yours. Things have changed. They always change. That's about to expire. Where, in your opinion, is the optimal place to host in light of government crap?
Because. And my, you know, things, my recommendations with things do change.
Sure.
Because I'm constantly looking at things, and the microphone I'm recommending is changed now. The one you have is great, but the one I'm recommending for people now is the USB Audio Technica USB 2005 mic. It's $60. It's a USB mic. It's a dynamic mic, not a condenser mic, and it's small and portable. But you know, the one you have is great, but it doesn't fit in a shaving case with your shaving stuff. So
okay,
I no longer recommend. Okay. I don't really have a recommendation for avoiding government tyranny.
Yeah.
Other than we're going to get into .bit, you know, the name coin thing and the BitShares thing and the Easy DNS thing are three questions down the line. So we'll get to them when we get to them. But I don't really know that there is – I don't know of a hosting company that's – inexpensive that will not honor request takedowns. I mean, I guess you could go with the place in Sweden that the Pirate Bay uses, but they're expensive.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm thinking about, here's what I'm thinking about. If you're looking, I look at the internet differently than most people. I don't look at it so much as let me put out what I'm doing today and hope this website stays around for the next 10 years. I'm looking at it as daily, I'm creating high quality content, usually audio, sometimes video, sometimes written. Yeah. And I'm putting it on an RSS feed with BitTorrent and encouraging people to torrent it to the point where I've actually paid and bought ads on other radio shows to do that, to encourage that. I'm not that concerned if in 1 or 2 or 5 years freedomfiends.com is seized, because I'm looking at 50 or 100 years down the line. I'm not doing this to make money.
Right.
I mean, I make a little money at the Freedom Fiends now, but it works out to like, you know, 40 cents an hour for like 80 hours a week work after expenses. I'm doing this because I'm driven to do it. I can't not do it. You know, if I didn't have a radio show, I'd be on the street corner with a bullhorn. If I didn't have a bullhorn, if I were homeless, I'd be on the street corner yelling it all at passersby. I'm not that concerned with, you know, will the Freedom Fiends be a website in 6 months or a year? Now, to that end, I don't want it taken away, but I'm putting a lot more time and energy into finding ways to keep the media, which is more important than the website, around. And, you know, you look at people who are for the ages, you know, considered the great men of time, of history. You know, a lot of times their stuff is around because there was one copy of it, you know, 300 years ago. And somebody happened to preserve it and own a printing press and publish it. And that's not really going to be true. There's so much media now and everybody's making media that I think you need to have 20, 50, 100 copies of everything out there in the hands of like fervent, you know, crazed fans who would, you know, fall over their family to get it out to other people. And that's my plan for longevity. So I do have a .bit mirror of the Freedom Fiends and a few other of my websites. So if the domain got seized by the government, there's still people could view it from .bit. But the thing is with .bit, it's, you know, you have to have Namecoin and either Free Speech Me or Meowbit to be able to view it. Or there's a couple web proxies out now. And I beat my brains out for 3 months daily trying to get people to do that. And I was able to get about 10 people to do it. So,
yeah, I heard the results in one of your podcasts.
So, you know, it is an answer and it could be an answer, but it involves work on the side of both the content creator and the content viewer. So it's, I was really disappointed to find out how lazy people are, you know? I mean, all of these websites that all they do all day long, or radio shows, or, you know, media sites, all they do all day long is complain about government tyranny, and God bless them for it. And then I say, hey, I have an actual solution to government tyranny here. And they're like, I don't know what that is. Go away, man. Or they're like, yeah, I get that, but, you know, we'll figure it out when we need it. And then those same people, like, get their, you know, their sites taken down. Or they get – the more common thing these days is getting, like, kicked off of Facebook or YouTube. And my answer to that is I don't build much of my brand on other people's websites. I have some YouTube videos up, but it's not where the bulk of my media is. The bulk of the media is on my sites and shared on BitTorrent, which is drone-proof because it's everywhere. It's not only drone-proof of having copies of it. It's drone-proof of, like, having copies of it that people are sharing. So, like, literally, if the cops came in my house right now, murdered me, and then took, you know, took the domain name freedomfiends.com and then took my files off of HostGator, it would not only still be out there. There's like 30 people that have everything I've ever done sharing it, and they'd have more of an incentive to go share it more.
Well, your strategy is absolutely brilliant in terms of lasting 2,000 years. But I think why the reason people ask this question is because you have a lot of people putting time into a particular website. They have a merchant account. Perhaps they get successful and people are clicking on that merchant account to buy something for $3 100 times a day. And that stream is – that income stream is what they don't want shut off.
Yeah.
They may have even taken precautions like published books, and they may have distributed their own material. And yet, you know, the state – can still threaten that income stream with a click of a button, and that's I think why the Jeff Berwicks, the Dollar Vigilante, and the Survival Blog. I think that's why they're so concerned. It's not that they haven't gotten their material.
They should
out there.
Be. They should be. But here's the thing: like you're talking merchant accounts, like Amazon click throughs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have Amazon links all over my site. You know, for particular items that I like and review, and I also have an Amazon link for the Freedom Fiends, and I make, you know, between $100 and $300 a month on that.
That's great.
But the thing is, it doesn't. If your .com gets seized by the government, they'll probably make Amazon take down your account.
Yeah, you'll be blacklisted.
I've actually had my account taken by accident and had to fight to get it back. I lost 3 months of income because I didn't notice. Or 2 months income because I just was too busy to notice. I started my Amazon affiliate account when I lived in California. My wife and I moved to Wyoming 5 years ago, and like 3 or 4 years ago, Amazon for a few months turned off everyone's affiliate account that was in California because California was going to tax. It was something about tax, and I think Amazon handled that poorly. I think they punished a lot of people who'd helped build Amazon for that. And eventually it got turned around, but it was, you know, it was the whim of some politician saying, we must fight this by doing this and not caring that it destroys the livelihood of thousands of people, you know?
Yeah. So, they handled it very poorly.
Yeah. But I had to contact Amazon and like fax them a photocopy of my Wyoming driver's license to get my account reinstated. So
yeah, getting in trouble with California is 10 times worse than getting in trouble with the feds.
Yeah. I guess my answer to that is diversify your income streams heavily.
Nice. Okay. Very I mean, well said.
It's so simple and so basic, and I'm not the first person to say it. I'm like the 10 millionth person to say it in this world, but you know, not that many people think about it with web stuff because, you know, it's easy to do something and get a bunch of stuff from one thing. I mean, you know, they're doing a lot of seizing of bank accounts now too. I would say do things with Bitcoin and do things with different Bitcoin addresses so it's harder to figure it out. And I'm not talking about avoiding taxes. I'm talking about avoiding if one, you know, PayPal, like if your PayPal account gets seized, not having everything else gets seized at the same time, having a chance of not doing that. Here's another thing too, is never keep a lot of money in PayPal. I never do, and never keep a lot of money in one bank account with one bank. You know, like, what's his name? Sheriff Richard Mack was raising mm-hmm. money for something and ran afoul with PayPal on something. And it's funny because PayPal is owned by libertarians. The guys who started it are like, you know, dollar vigilante types, like building islands, you know, government-free islands somewhere in South America. But the company is pretty unlibertarian and tends to cooperate heavily with authorities and seize accounts with no good reason. And the reason they seized his account, and this is something people should know about if they're using a PayPal link, is PayPal doesn't advertise this, and they should, but if you're taking donations, don't use the – and this may change. Check it out. I'm not giving legal advice, but here's what I found. They seized his account because he was using the PayPal donate link – donate button, which is reserved by PayPal for people who have a 501c3 nonprofit.
Wow, interesting.
And most people don't know that because it's really easy to go on PayPal, accept donations and set up the link, and you don't read the 20 pages of I agree by clicking here that I've read. and they will take it. So what I use is I use the subscribe button and have, you know, a subscription that doesn't pay, basically. Or, you know, basically the subscription is just the goodwill of the show. And I also put really clearly, this is not tax deductible. That's really smart to put too. You know, that's Yeah, it is really smart. And we'll be back with more really smart
stuff. You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
All right. Good evening, my beautiful human beings interested in liberty, and not just in a theoretical sense, but in a spread your liberty, spread your media, and guard it from the goons. And that's what I'm giving tips on tonight in this interview, previously recorded, being interviewed by Terrence Gillespie. He's a good guy here in Wyoming. And here we go. Actually, the link I use, I do have a link to make a single payment, but it's just the old style PayPal, like it's got a Visa, Amex logo, et cetera. It does not say donate. So that's one tip. And another tip is, you know, don't keep $45,000 in your PayPal account like Richard Mack did. You know, I don't let it get more than 200. I take it out and put it into something else somewhere else.
Yeah, those PayPal guys, they get one email and they cave.
Yeah. And YouTube is getting like that too, especially where they have like, you know, they have a report link, report this link on YouTube. They're giving extra credibility to clicks from that, from like law enforcement. Like they're giving law enforcement accounts, law enforcement people, not just in America, but in the UK, accounts. And like, you know, that's how Stefan Molyneux got taken down for a while. And that's how
Just read about that. Like
Alex Jones got taken down.
Their one click counts as a million clicks of ours.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. So, you know, my main thing is don't build your brand so much on other people's website. Build it on your own. I mean, there are ways to host video on your own site. It takes a lot more bandwidth and a little more work, but, And YouTube is so convenient and so ubiquitous that like everybody uses it. And it makes sense, but I guess I don't put all my eggs in one basket. All my eggs in one Batman, as Nemus says.
Now, given that the video stuff, if you are HostGator is advertising unlimited bandwidth, so theoretically you could host, you know, serve up video at HostGator.
Although it's and I use HostGator. I'm paying the $180 a year basic business package they have. I used to recommend it more than I do. They've been expanding exponentially, and it used to be you could get their tech support with like 1 minute of wait time, and now it's like 30. Mm-hmm. Same thing with their online chat help. So I might be looking at something else, but for now, and they have downtime of like an hour or two here and there, like once every couple months, which they didn't used to have. But they're still, as far as I can tell, the cheapest, pretty reliable everything package of nearly unlimited bandwidth. Now, I don't use them for domain. my I'm having a brain fart here. My web addresses are hosted elsewhere. My dot coms, you know, the registrar I'm using is still DreamHost, and I just point it to HostGator because DreamHost is $10 a year or $12 a year now, and that includes privacy. And DreamHost is like $25 a year plus $10 a year for privacy, and I have like 10 domains, so I still host the domain. Have the domain registrar as DreamHost and just point the name servers to HostGator.
That is interesting. Given that you just brought up this idea of splitting the host from the web host, the DNS host from the web host, it seems that a very elegant move and a cheap move to get a lot for a little is to use EasyDNS.
Yeah, and you turned me on to that. I didn't actually know about that, and I don't have an answer for you, but I'd like to talk about EasyDNS.
And I got that from the Jeff Berwick Dollar Vigilante article. I'm not sure if he wrote this particular one.
I think the guy who runs the company wrote this article, Mark somebody.
Yeah.
And he's a libertarian, anarcho-capitalist, whatever. You know, basically it looks like a DNS hosting, you know, name server hosting site that doesn't comply with non-warrant takedown orders. Now, he will comply, apparently, I think, with warrants, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can't expect somebody to...
Not to. They're going to go to prison and get their doors kicked in. But
yeah, at some point, they're going to cave, but at least they're gonna shine the first couple of emails.
Yeah, they're not just going to say, okay. You know, and the way it is now, I mean, it's like, sometimes a local sheriff can get something taken down. It doesn't... And we'll tell you more about how to keep that from happening in the second hour of The Fiends, coming up soon. Freedom Fiends. It's Michael W. Dean recovering from Pork Fest. It's a beautiful thing. I just can't go, I can't put it into words. You had to be there, and you weren't. Or were you? Maybe you were. I hope you were. There was a large amount of people there. I missed the group picture. That's unfortunate. I wish I didn't miss the group picture. I would have liked to have been in it, but I had to jump on a plane in Vermont to fly to Denver to drive to Casper. So, we're doing some life lessons here on how to do internets and keep your media from getting gooned and make it popular and have it available. That's the biggest thing. Have it available. You don't want to be a flash in the pan who's popular right now and then like your website gets taken down and nobody has a copy of anything. So, I'm talking with my friend Terrence Gillespie. This is a previously recorded interview. I'm going to play some more of it. Here we go. It doesn't even have to be the feds. You know, it doesn't even have to be a Fed goon in a corner office. It can be anybody. Yeah. It looks good. I want to know more about it. Okay. It's still one person in one place.
Sure.
You know, it's still one single point of failure. Whereas with distributed DNS like .bit or the upcoming .p2p with BitShares, that doesn't exist. But it needs the installed user base. And Namecoin is at 3 years to get it together, and they haven't. And so I'm kind of betting on BitShares, which isn't even out yet, BitShares DNS. It's coming out this summer. But that's based mostly on... I've had a bunch of dealings with a bunch of people on the Namecoin development team, and they are like a bunch of cats trying to herd themselves, and it can't be done. And I've had a bunch of dealings with the BitShares development team, and they're awesome.
Doesn't the website list you as the cat herder?
Yeah, I'm the cat herder. Yep. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Like I'm starting to get more consulting work, like with them and with you. And it's basically the same thing. It's just, Michael, what do you think of this? And I have so many diverse jack of all trades, masters of some, you know, skill sets, you know, so I'm not doing like graphic arts for them. I'm not doing web design for them. I'm kind of like, they run things by me and I give them my opinion and they either take it or don't. And that's, I think that's what I'm going to end up doing for a living. I like it. Not just for them, but for everybody. I like doing it.
Well, I refer, when people ask me what I do, I say I take care of things.
Or does that mean you kill people?
If they want to be all terribly evilly romantic, I won't stop them. But no, that's not what it means. It means that when a problem comes up, I take care of it. And I've been doing it for so long that you have a good life doing things like that.
You're a fixer.
I'm a fixer.
Although fixer, I don't like that term because of the mafioso connotations as a murderer and or a crime scene cleanup guy after murder, like Mr. Wolf in Pulp Fiction. And also fixer is German slang for a junkie.
Oh, I didn't know that. I got to be careful
fixing
with that
all the time. I guess the main thing for me is, like I said, I want to underline diversifying your income streams. And basically, when people ask me what I do for a living, my answer is I be me, you know? and that's why I give away a lot of media, because I really think building yourself as the brand is the thing that makes people want to hire you specifically for anything. And also, I don't worry that much about, you know, where the .com is or if it gets seized or whatever. I do worry about it, but it's not the end of the world for me if it does. I mean, think about Pirate Bay. Like, they've gone through like 10 top-level domains in the past, you know, couple years, like piratebay.se, .sx, .me, .com, .net. And basically, they're so popular that people just find it. Within like 12 hours, it's going to be the first result in Google. And even if it isn't, you know, if you still have a Twitter feed, you can Twitter your new one. I mean, you could even give people an IP address.
Well, I think this all works brilliantly for you. I mean, I think this is about the third official thing we've done together.
Yeah.
No one's ever heard about anything. Everyone from their point of view is just listening to Freedom Fiends cast after cast and Michael W. Dean at night. They would never know any of the stuff that, as I say, this is the third thing I think we've done together that actually involved some sort of transfer of money. And this all happened because you have been so generous. Overly generous with your content. It's just like, well, I got to call this guy. He'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So I think it works brilliantly.
Yeah.
Certainly in your case.
Thanks, man. I'm honored.
Oh, well, you're honoring. You did it. It's just fantastic. Did you want to talk more about that, or I have a HostGator question?
No, ask me a HostGator question.
You may not have looked at their initial page lately because you're already using their service. If the new user goes to their service as of today, which is May 21st, 2014, it doesn't seem like you get – there's no reason to get their third-tier package beyond the baby unless you have a dedicated IP, which is necessary for an SSL, and you only need an SSL for a merchant account. So I'm surprised that you pay the $180 a year rather than the $70 a year. Do you use a dedicated IP for anything other – is there any use for a dedicated IP other than a merchant account, I guess is the short question.
Yeah, because some plugins and backdoor kind of – not backdoor, but like behind the scenes kind of things feed to the IP, not to not to the URL.
Interesting.
And also, if the site went down, I could give people an IP address too, you know, on my Twitter feed or something.
Okay. Excellent. I did not know that. Fantastic.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Is there any use for anonymous FTP? That's another thing that comes with their third tier service.
I wouldn't use anonymous FTP. What that does is, I mean, what that would be good for is like a whistleblower site or a site that. No. Hosts lots of user-submitted media. That's where people can upload something by FTP without using a password or using, you know, password as the password, but they can't download anything. It's a Dropbox kind of thing. Yeah. I wouldn't do it because it'd make it really easy for somebody to, like, upload child porn to your server and then bust you, you know?
Oh, that's another great point.
I don't want incoming massive, you know, amounts of files easily available. I don't really have any use for them either, because I'm pretty much everything I do is kind of one way out to the world. I mean, I don't even take phone calls usually from people I don't know on my show. You know, the ultimate what?
The ultimate one to many.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of sounds curmudgeonly or whatever, like, you know, I'm some cranky old man in a cave somewhere writing things and sending them out to the world. But I like it that way. And I talked last night on the show about how there's a lot of beefs between libertarians lately, like them screaming at each other on their blogs or their podcasts. And I'm not even aware of it, let alone like involved in it. And it really seems to me a big waste of time and kind of a mark of immaturity. And I used to beef with people all the time. Like, the thing is, though, you can't do that for decades and not turn into a bitter old person.
Oh,
you know, if
God.
You want to be happy and healthy at 50, don't make it your life to beef with people. So and that's another reason I don't do two-way communications, is I don't really care to hear what people say about me, because I know I'm right, man. I'm absolutely 110% sure I'm right.
And if you're not, you seem to be in touch with enough like-minded people throughout the day and your work that they'll spontaneously correct you or corral you, let's say.
Yeah.
I think you've answered question number 3, and that is, I wrote down here, do you have any plans to move your primary host off HostGator to an offshore host as Dollar Vigilante does? As I said, I think you've answered this, but because I guess there could be other people listening to this conversation – I think the ideal currently truly is to have an offshore primary, and Dollar Vigilante is in Iceland. You host the DNS somewhere else, and that's Easy DNS in their case. And then in the future, add on to that a .p2p.
He didn't mention .p2p. He mentioned Namecoin and, you know, .bit and something else. What was the other thing?
Yes, that was in my question. I just added
what
that.
What did he mention besides Namecoin? There was something else.
He didn't mention anything. Oh, okay. What did Vimeo. Putting videos on Vimeo.
Okay. Are they more resistant to takedown than YouTube? Takedown requests?
Interesting. I haven't looked into Vimeo yet. I just see so many libertarians so frustrated with YouTube because, too bad for them, they put a lot of effort into their YouTube channels. And then all of a sudden, YouTube just wakes up, gets a click from one of those privileged groups, and then boom, you know, 80 hours of work is down the drain.
Yeah. I mean, Google is becoming the government. You know, there's a joke I've seen somewhere. It was like, you know, Google motto 2001, don't be evil. And that was their motto. Google motto 2006, evil is hard to define. Google motto 2014, we build robots for the military. And they do.
Wow.
You know, which is really bizarre to me, too, because people are trying to, like, freedom people are trying to partner with Google. And I think it's a bad idea. Like, somebody sent me something about somebody starting some secure hosting, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what it was. It was like a portable encryption, like an email encryption chat thing that was easy to use for Android phone. And they were trying to partner with Google. They're in Google Summer of Code, which is kind of like a summer paid internship for coders. I mean, that's like, it's almost to me like, you know, getting paid by the NSA to make encryption software for the masses.
Oh, I totally agree. I think 3 years ago, I was on the porch up in Wyoming, and I told somebody, they said, well, why don't you like Facebook? And I said, well, if it's not the user interface directly to the NSA, then we can't trust the NSA, because it should be.
Yeah. If
Google is not the front end for the NSA, then we can't trust the NSA, because they're missing their opportunity. I mean, I think they actually are. I think the funding for Facebook, they were able to survive for 7 years without any funding, with no ads. You can't do that.
Well, that's a problem with being a publicly traded company. And a lot of people don't understand this. When you are a publicly traded company, you are required by law to not turn down deals that will make you money, even if that involves the government. And you are required by law, I mean, Google's board of directors could go to prison for not honoring, you know, requests from the U.S. federal government.
It's a backdoor guaranteed win for the government winning every contract.
Yeah. So I prefer to do business with companies that are not publicly traded companies, and this Easy DNS is not. So.
Worms. We'll have more on mastering the internet after this.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Michael Dean. Freedom Fiend. Met some great people. Met some wonderful people. Loved them all. Porkfest is really, really, really neat. I sound like a broken record, man, but you just had to be there. See, I met the Florida people. I met the Rochester people. Let's see, Nicole. All sorts of people. Tom. Joe Sampson. It was all good, man. It was all beautiful. So, I'm going to go back to the technical nuts and bolts here. Play some of this interview. Me being interviewed about the interwebs and what to do with them. Interviewee is Terrence Gillespie. Here we go. Oh, I kind of like the idea of him. I wrote this guy about something today a couple hours ago, and he hasn't written back, but... You know, it wasn't a request to, you know, I'm not a paid service. He basically says, I'll get back to you quicker than, you know, I'll get back to my clients quicker than the big companies will. And he hasn't got back to me yet, but I'm not a client. I just have a question. So okay. We'll see. Here's the thing, too. I don't know. Yes. I don't know that offshore has that much actual meaning in hosting because... Yeah. I mean, there's people who have like a .me web address because they think it can't be taken down, like a .com because it's Montenegro. It can absolutely be taken down. Every single domain except .bit and whatever .p2p coming soon with BitShares and whatever Ethereum has. Ethereum is the other thing he mentioned. I think Ethereum is not the thing to bet on for DNS. Mm-hmm. I think BitShares is, but this guy didn't know about it because BitShares just hired me to do publicity. If they'd hired me 2 months ago, this guy would know about it because I would have contacted him personally. But any domain can be seized by the U.S. federal government or any goon at any powerful government, any EU goon, you know, sure. Probably any British goon, probably any, you know, I mean, the only domain that is not under control of ICANN is North Korea. And you're not going to be able to host or have, you know, most people in North Korea don't know the internet exists. And that's true.
And I'm sure the bandwidth would just be awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's given a lot of people wax romantic about, escaping to a second country. I'm very interested in that subject, and yet it's...
I feel like there's tyranny everywhere now, man.
Yeah, it's not that exciting to jump from one frying pan to another.
Yeah, and a lot of the places that a lot of people who are in the get out of America and move your assets somewhere else movement, a lot of the places that they look at are... and favor are on paper more tyrannical than America, you know?
Almost always.
But... Yeah. In a lot of those countries, if you keep your head down, you can have less tyranny than America. Like, I have a friend I went to college with who lives in China and married a woman from China and lives there. And he regularly walks by a cop smoking a joint. Pot is far more illegal in China than it is here, but the cops don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of places in South America, you know, if you criticize their president, they will cut your head off. But you can, you know, engage in gray market commerce without a license a lot easier than you can in America. But the thing is, you're not going to be able to go to those places and do what I do or do what, you know, what a lot of these people do. Where does the dollar vigilante guy live?
I don't know. I didn't find out. I was just looking at the optimal hosting solution.
I know the wandering
capitalist guy was in Vietnam for a while. And Vietnam is weird because it's like, literally, if they find you with one bullet, they will put you in front of a firing squad. However, I mean, you can start a business there by putting a shingle out on your house. You can, if you want to adopt, if you're from there and your neighbors die, you can just adopt his kid. He just comes and lives with you. There's no paperwork. So, you know, in a lot of these kind of third worldy or second worldy countries, if you keep your head down, you could probably thrive there as an American with a little bit of money. But I wouldn't count on it. I wouldn't count on the rule of law protecting you there.
No, I wouldn't count on the rule of law protecting you anywhere. That's an illusion.
Yeah, and I guess with the offshore hosting thing, I mean, there's two components to hosting a website. One is the DNS registrar, you know, who you get the .com, .net, whatever from, and who's holding it for you. And the other is where the files are. Now, the thing is, if my files got taken away, but my .com domain did not, I would have my whole web presence up and running within 12 hours on another host. Absolutely.
Right on. Right.
And if I needed to, I'd do it from my house. You know, it's not
that's the key. Saving your own content. That's the key.
I mean, I have it all backed up, not just here, but you know, even if I lost it all, I have backups of everything here, so I could replicate the website overnight. And that's me talking.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend. And we're going to go back to this wonderful interview with me, done by Terrence Gillespie, about the interwebs on another host in another country. And I don't see a need to preemptively do that. I could be stupid, but I don't see a need to do that yet, because to take down a website, you know, takes a little bit of it takes more than a click from some cop, you know. It takes more. Yeah. It takes legal action. To take a domain name takes a sort of legal action, but it's more and more common. To take you off of YouTube takes a click from a law enforcement agency these days. So, but the thing is, if I wanted to, you know, let's say the government seized my property and, you know, ran me out of the country and took all my domains and everything, and I find myself in Luxembourg, you know, living out of a back of a web cafe tomorrow. you know, anywhere I have an internet connection, I could get all of my stuff back up, all the media. It wouldn't be the whole website with all the posts and everything, but I could literally go to anybody's house with a high-speed internet connection, get a copy of the RSS feed of all the Freedom Fiends media, all my movies, basically my life's work from anywhere. It's duplicated all over the internet everywhere. And I know a lot of people have a copy of it. I could get it emailed to me. You know, it's 4 meg file. I could get it emailed to me. I could set up BitTorrent. I could run that for 12 hours and have all my media and then host them from anywhere on any site, you know? So it's not like, it would be that big of a deal if I lost everything. Like, if I got anywhere with the skin on my back and my wife, I could replicate my empire overnight.
You know, I think you may have just achieved Sun Tzu's ideal there. You are winning without fighting.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, it's not that I don't take precautions. Like, I'm really careful about – I don't use copyrighted media on my website. Because I think that's what they're going to take people down for. Like, you know, they can't take you down for free speech and not look like bad guys, but they can totally take you down if you used a picture of Bart Simpson on a blog post or on one of your 400 blog posts, you know?
I think that's a real story. Yeah. I'd like to ask you a question here. What's the best layout for commerce? And I added for an author, but really, what's the best layout for commerce? And I gave you a couple of examples. I like the simplicity of most of the content in the middle with one column on the right.
Oh, and layout of a website. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, for a theme. We're talking about themes.
I have two. My layout has two columns on the right WordPress theme. There's a lot of WordPress themes that are like that. Your next question, do you recommend buying themes? No. I don't see any reason to.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, I didn't notice the second column on your website. I'm looking at it now. I thought there was
only one. Yeah, it's not as long as the other column.
Okay.
It's just so I can have a little bit of important stuff all at the top without having to have people scroll all the way down.
Okay. There we go. Okay, so next question, number 5. You answered that. Do you recommend purchasing a theme? If so, from where? And you've just answered that.
I can tell you actually, the Freedom Fiend site has one column now. I forgot. I simplified it.
Okay.
But you do have to scroll down for a lot of it. You could do two, but actually ones with one column tend to look better on mobile sites, on mobile devices.
Oh, that's a good point. You have to make it look good from a mobile site as
well. Yeah, and it used to be that you needed a plug-in to serve up a separate mobile feed for people, but that's less and less true as mobile devices get bigger screens and get more like computers.
Yeah.
So I don't bother with that. You know, that's they say that like that'll very slightly increase your Google SEO. You know, one thing that'll increase your Google SEO that hasn't changed and I don't think will change is paying your registration for your domain name for like 5 years at once.
That is amazing.
Because it gives them a little bit of an inkling that you're going to stick around.
That is incredible. I've never heard anyone say that. That is really interesting.
Yeah. And I'll tell you a reason not to buy themes is a lot of people who sell themes hide stuff in the theme that like increases their own SEO, like scammy stuff. Like they'll put something that always displays off screen below at the bottom, but it's like, you know, a link to them or something that auto clicks when someone loads it, things like that.
That is truly disgusting.
Or put viruses in them or put some kind of backdoor to steal passwords or whatever in them. Yeah, I get the stuff. I generally get the really, really default themes from the WordPress site that have been around for a while. So they've been vetted as not having problems.
I've noticed that Freedom Fiend's blog has a different theme from the main website. Do you regret that? Do you like that? Or
why would I regret that? Because it's dark and crazy looking?
No, I like it. I'm just wondering, is it something you haven't rectified? Do you like it? Was it a choice?
No, it was definitely a choice. The tagline is laughing while Western civilization collapses. And I wanted something that looked like Western civilization collapsing. And the only one I could find was this theme called Mad Meg that has... I don't think it's a Hieronymus Bosch painting, but it's a Bruegel painting who was either influenced by or influenced Bosch, and it looks like Bosch. I mean, it looks like society burning in the 1700s or 1500s.
It does indeed.
No, I intentionally used a different theme than the Freedom Fiend site so people would know which site they're on at a glance. So people wouldn't go, oh, Freedom Fiends, and be looking on the blog for audio and then like can't find it and go away, you know?
Okay, another kind of nitpicky thing. I've noticed that when I'm in Freedom Fiends and I click on one of your links for Namecoin or something, that you do not start the link in a new page. You start it in that page.
Yeah, that's a personal choice. And a lot of people say you have more retention on your website if you make everything open up a new tab or a new window, which is really easy to do.
Right.
I do it on a couple things. I don't think you've clicked everything because I do it on a couple things. But I don't do it a lot because it's annoying.
Yes, it is. It is annoying.
You know, it's kind of a toss-up between keeping people on your website and making them want to run away because you're annoying them. Because if I spend an hour on a site clicking on things because I'm interested in the site, in an hour I'm going to have 60 windows opened up. And that's really annoying, man. And I figure if I make the content good enough, people will come back. And we get a lot of return traffic on the site. Really, the site for me is not the thing. The site is kind of a clearinghouse for the media. The media is the thing. I mean, we get more click-throughs, you know, we get more downloads of the podcasts from iTunes and Stitcher combined than we do from the site.
Wow. And as you were saying that, I was thinking that for mobile devices, it's also especially annoying to have to open up another window.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I don't you notice that I don't like pitch iTunes as the only thing, too. Like when you go to the RSS feeds on the top, there's an iTunes link there. but it doesn't go. It doesn't go to the iTunes site. It opens up iTunes, but it subscribes from my website. So basically, if iTunes takes us off, which they do sometimes if they don't like content, it's not going to affect people who've clicked on that to subscribe. We are on iTunes, and people do subscribe through iTunes, but I don't send people to iTunes. Here's the thing. Here's where I learned this. I learned this really early. There was a site called mp3.com. in 1996. Mm-hmm. I got on the internet in 1996. Actually, I think that site came out in 97. And by 97, I was basically doing podcasts. I mean, I was there was no such thing as an RSS feed, but I was recording audio ranting and putting it on a website. And I had to keep it. I mean, everyone was on dial-up except me. I was on DSL because I lived in San Francisco, 1,000 feet from a phone company, which was, you know, there were like four cities that had it and you had to live 1,000 feet from a phone company. So most people had dial-up, and hosting was expensive. I mean, I think the web host I had then that cost about as much as my web host now, I think I had a limit of like 10 megs that I could upload. So I had to make audio files that were really short, like, you know, five minutes of talking, and encode them at like 16K, and they sounded like a telephone. And I would put them on my website and link them. And when I'd get to my 10 megs, I would have to delete the old ones. So, and I was doing, and I was putting music up too. So, you know, I mean, 10 megs of encoding MP3 the way I do now is 10 minutes. You know, I couldn't put much on there. So this site, mp3.com, came out, and it was kind of like before YouTube. It was kind of like YouTube for music. And mainly it was bands uploading their own stuff. And they did the hosting for you, and it was free, and it was great. And I loved it. And I made business cards that had my mp3.com/kittyfeet or whatever my site on there was. And I did all this work building their site, and all these other thousands of bands and, you know, spoken word people did too. And then overnight they changed to like, you know, $20 a month pay model. Like I couldn't even access to get my MP3s off of there. And I felt so burned by that, that I made a vow to never build a large part of my, you know, presence on someone else's site. Because basically on sites like that, you are the product, and they trick you to think you're not. But, you know, Facebook, MySpace back in the day, and YouTube now, you are the product, you know, and that's why it's free, because they are marketing at everyone on there. And one of the things that drove me off Facebook, you know, 3 years ago, before even the NSA stuff came out, was just they kept changing their terms of service. It was really annoying. It was really obvious they were treating people like the product and like cattle. So, I would rather have a smaller presence on my property than a bigger presence where someone else can just ruin my day and ruin my year by changing terms of service or deleting me.
Yeah, there you go. So you're overcoming all of these obstacles that people find so intangible by the right perspective.
Yeah.
Rather than through technology or applications.
Yeah, and a lot of building, you know, what I keep talking about, building yourself as the brand. I mean, a lot of what that involves is giving it away forever. And since you have a good job, I would say you have no reason not to give it away for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, instead of trying to make a little bit of money on it. Like I have a video on YouTube that has a third of a million hits. It's a little gun training. It's from that Free State Wyoming thing. I just filmed a guy doing a little Glock lesson for 2 minutes and Herc. And it's got 300,000 views on it, which is more than any video I have. And I have not put ads on it. I could easily put ads on that and split it with Herc and make, you know, a couple $100. But when I filmed it with him, I said, "Will you do this free? I'll put your name on it. I'm not going to put ads on it." He said, "Sure." And I don't, you know, I'm sure I could contact him and ask him if I could put ads on it. He might be fine with it, but I still don't want to do it because I hate ads on YouTube. I don't hate advertising. I don't hate the idea of advertising, but
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Michael Dean,
We have come to the final segment here of the Freedom Fiends. This interview is going to run a few minutes long past the show, but I'll put it at the end of the interwebs version of this that I'll put up sometime tonight after I watch Halt and Catch Fire being replayed at 1 in the morning. So here you go. Here's the end. Well, for this, here's the end of this episode, and then we'll play the rest later on the interwebs. Take care. Worms.
I think there's a place to do it and a place not to do it.
Good for you. Well, that guy Herc, he knows what he's doing, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah.
But good for you. That's great. And you're not losing that much money for maintaining your integrity, but integrity is everything. As soon as you gain money
because and not just maintaining your, there's not, there would be no lack of integrity of putting ads on there. I'd have to ask Herc because yeah. I told him I wouldn't, but I'd have to ask him, and if he said yes, there'd be no lack of integrity of putting ads on there. It's more like I think it's better for him and me and guns in general to not have ads on that one.
Excellent.
You know, I think it builds the brand of good, safe, accurate gun use, and it builds the brand of Herc, and it builds the brand of Michael Dean. And I'm more concerned about that than getting, you know, 3 cents per 100 or per 1,000 clicks or whatever and annoying people.
Fascinating. I listened to one of your shows about the copyrights and trademarks and patents. You had very interesting comments on that.
Here's the thing about advertising, and I'm paraphrasing the show Mad Men, which is a really fun. You ever seen that show?
I'm kind of a compulsive watcher, so if I haven't seen one, I haven't seen any.
Okay.
If you recommend it, I'll probably see every. I highly one recommend in the next
it. It's a drama that was on AMC, who created Breaking Bad. They're great. It's on Netflix. All the seasons up to now.
There we go.
It's about ad men on Madison Avenue in the 60s, and it's funny and poignant and brilliant, and shows what life was like back then. And you know, if you're of that age, you'll recognize all the furniture and lamps in it and go, man, my parents had that, that's weird. Wow. Awesome. I remember that. But he said that advertising is a bargain with the viewer. You entertain them, and in exchange, it's like an unspoken contract. You entertain them, and in exchange they agree to listen to your pitch. And advertising has to entertain more than it annoys, and ads on YouTube videos annoy more than they entertain.
Oh, boy, are you right about that.
I have ads on some of my stuff, but it's because my Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom video, and my Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, I give those away on BitTorrent, and they're on YouTube, but I also have a DVD deal with the coolest DVD distributor in the world, MVD. And my deal with them is they put out DVDs and sell them and pay me royalties. And in exchange, they let me put all my stuff up on YouTube also. But in exchange for that, they put ads on the stuff I put up on YouTube and then split that ad money with me too.
Huh. What a great example of a modern wandering contract in multiple directions.
Yeah, because you kind of have to, if you don't believe in copyright like me, you have to figure out ways to exist in a world that believes in copyright, stay out of jail, not get your YouTube account deleted, and make money at it and give it away all at the same time. And that's one of the best ways I found to do it. And it involves YouTube, but you know, another thing is donations. I really think you asked before, I had an answer for this and went on to something else, but you said, what do you think the best method is for? Oh, it's commerce. when you said, what is the best layout for for commerce? You were talking about WordPress, themes. I thought you were talking about the best business plan, and I had a thought in my mind for that. And basically, I think the best business plan is don't try to make a living at it. Do something else for a living. Give everything away. Sell it also. Sell it and give it away, the same stuff. And ask for donations and give people something that's so valuable they want to donate money for something they get free. And do that long enough, and you'll approach making a living at it.
Wow. That's not the easy way out, but that is a glorious way out.
Yeah.
Getting to a specific question here. What was this one? Okay, let's say you have a .com.
I do.
Okay, good. And then part of your main thing is a blog. I think you recommend having the .com resolve immediately to the blog page. Or perhaps would you recommend that you go to an introductory page and that the blog is accessed through a button at the top?
I hate entry pages. I think you lose a lot of – from my experience, you lose a lot of traffic to them. From – you know, unless – I guess unless you have – I guess it would make sense if you have an empire, and I have an empire, and I'm trying to tell people to have an empire, and I don't mean overseas holdings that, you know, murder people. I mean that, you know, if you're doing more than one thing, like if you're an author, writer, podcaster, et cetera, I guess it would make sense to have the, you know, yourname.com or some shortened version of yourname.com, and then have, like, you know, podcast, movies, books, speaking engagements, etc. But in my experience, you lose a lot of traffic to that, and not that many people click to the next page because they people are impatient.
And they probably assume that your website is static because it looks
and
the same
change.
Every time.
Yeah.
And they would never see the change in content.
Yeah. I guess what I generally make too, though, is static media that updates, that there's more of it all the time. So a dynamic website, which is one that updates rather than a static one that stays the same. You know, a dynamic one is one that generates new pages on the fly from a database like a WordPress site or a commerce site. I don't really have much of a need for dynamicness other than being able to add new episodes and have them searchable. So I don't have a lot of complicated – I don't have e-commerce on my site. I do it through third-party sites, and I do it through more than one of them. So if one of them gets shut down, they're not all shut down.
There we go.
I would say one of the best ways to disseminate art would be a plain WordPress site with the links you need on the side – an explanation of what it is. So when you get there, you immediately see what it is. Like, you know, don't just put, you know, Terrence Gillespie, put Terrence Gillespie, author, you know, raconteur, roustabout, gun nut, whatever you want to put. Have a description that, so you have to look at the amount of time, you know, that people are willing to spend on something on the internet. It's not long unless it pulls them in. And one of the biggest complaints I have with websites is they don't say what they are right away. They don't say where they're from. Like, all the time, you know, local news sites, for instance, will list something that, you know, some tyranny that happened, and it'll go viral, and you'll go to the site, and it'll say, like, a Buffalo man was shot to death today, and you're like, is this Buffalo, Wyoming? Buffalo, New York? Where is this? I have no idea. So I think a website, at the bottom of the website, should say who made it, how to contact them, where they are, if it's important, and you know, a little description of it. Like, that's where I look. I scroll down to the bottom of the site when I'm looking for information. You can have it on the side, but I would definitely have a site title. You know, like Freedom Fiends used to say Freedom Fiends, and I actually had a guy go to the site and write me a glowing letter and tell me what a great fan of it, of the show he was. I mean, of the website. And then he said, "You should do a podcast." And I was like, it is a podcast. And so at that point, I changed it to Freedom Fiends Talk Radio Show. Actually, it was podcast at the time. And then I made it really obvious where the player link is and moved it from the bottom of each post to the top of each post. So you have to think about things like that from usability. Like, there's a lot of websites done by professional web designers that are really fancy, but they're not very usable. I would rather have a really plain, boring-looking site that's really usable.
Yeah, best website in the world, Drudge Report. Look at that thing.
Or Craigslist.
Well, that guy's comment about you have a podcast must have been the most productive, you know, backdoor
it was.
Insult
it was,
you've ever
it,
received.
It was far more useful to me than the many glowing, you're the greatest thing ever that I get every day. I like those, although I usually tell people, hey, cool, would you post that on the site? Because it's like, I know I'm great. I'd rather have you tell other people I'm great. But yeah, it was far more useful than a glowing, you know, hey, you were my path to liberty email like I get all the time. Because it actually made me improve the site with very little effort. I mean, it took me 2 minutes to make the site obviously a podcast.
Wow. Okay, two more very quick questions. One is a technical one. I'm going to transfer my domains from one web host to another. Do I need to contact anyone other than the target web host?
Are you moving content and the web URL or just the URL?
Just the URL.
No, you need to contact – well, what's with most of them, the way you do it. First of all, have they been registered more than 60 days?
Yes.
Okay, because ICANN won't let you move a domain that hasn't been registered for 60 days because it's a ridiculous anti-squatting thing they have. Are you moving from where to where?
Probably from DreamHost to HostGator. But what I might do as a result of our conversation is move the URL from DreamHost to EasyDNS and then start a HostGator account.
Yeah, I'm still the fix isn't in for me on EasyDNS yet. I'm very intrigued with it. I need to talk to the guy. I think I'd like to interview the guy. But I'm waiting for him to write me back, you know, which is like, I'm not a client, so I'm not blaming him for having not written me back in what, 4 hours, but he does say on there, I write everyone back and I'll write you back quicker than, and actually HostGator would get back to me in less than 4 hours, but I pay HostGator money and I don't pay this guy money. So I can't blame him for that yet. But, I'm curious. I like the idea, you know, of an ANCAP libertarian running a DNS registrar that won't comply to a non, he won't comply to legal takedown requests that don't come with the force of law behind them. And a lot of them will.
It reads like it's an excellent, very cost-effective first level of insurance.
Yeah. I mean, I'd want to know more about it. I'd want to talk to some people that host with him, host their DNS there, because – you know, I like the business plan, but what's their uptime? What's their, I need to know more about them. I heard about them from you today. I'm fascinated with the idea. Awesome. I'm not going to move all my stuff over there today. I would not host DNS at HostGator because it's $35, whereas it's $10 right where you are at DreamHost. Mm-hmm. You can delete your DreamHost hosting account and keep your DNS. Your DNS is hosted there. Your domains hosted there. I would drop them an email to support before you do that, to tell them you're doing that and ask them what the procedure is, because I did that and it worked. I would hate to see if you didn't do that, maybe they delete everything when you close the account.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure at the time I did it, you could not start. I don't think you could just host for $13 a month a year there unless you'd previously been a client. I think it's a way that they keep people a little bit holding on, so hoping they'll come back to host, because they probably don't make much money hosting a domain at $13 a year.
Did you have a bad experience there that drove you away, or you?
Yeah, they're hosting their domain registrar hosting is solid. Their web hosting was horrible. It was
okay.
I mean, they had downtime of like 2 or 3 days pretty often didn't get back and left people hanging, didn't have a Twitter feed where they said, you know, we're 50% back, everyone should be back in an hour or anything like that. They just let you worry.
All right. Well, we hope they'll get better, but that was the status at the time that you were driven away.
Yeah. I guess the way I look at it is like, it's magic that the internet even works. Like when, you know, if I have an hour or two of downtime once in a while, every few months, I don't freak out. People are not dying if my website's down. And also, like, so much of the Fiends is elsewhere. We're on the radio. We're on 23 stations. We have a streaming link that's not hosted from our domain that people have bookmarked. We're on, we're on iTunes. We're on YouTube. We're on all these other things. So, you know, if the website's down for a couple hours, I don't lose sleep over it. I used to with DreamHost too. Like, I was different then, and DreamHost would have like, you know, 19 hours of downtime every couple months and like 4 hours every couple weeks. So,
you know, I just thought of an extemporaneous question here. Do you think there's any value in using a VPN to go through a VPN to update your website so that they don't necessarily know where you're updating from? Or do you think that's a just silly.
No, the thing about VPNs, and I use a VPN, and we have an advertiser that's Bola VPN, and they're really good.
Yes.
The thing most people don't understand about a VPN is how to use it. You don't want to use a VPN while you're logged into Facebook or Google or Gmail or YouTube or your website, because then you are attaching human information connected with you as one person to everything you do. So when you go look at something else that you don't want the government to know you're looking at, they know it's you. What a VPN for, there's two things that a VPN works well for me. It may work for other people for other things. I use it to seed torrents from my house because my local ISP cripples BitTorrent traffic. And if I use the VPN, they don't know I'm using BitTorrent, so it doesn't do anything.
Jeez.
And, you know, I'm hosting my stuff. It's perfectly legal. But because torrents are used for pirating a lot, you know, a lot of ISPs cripple them. So I do that and run a, I run a laptop 24/7 in a different room, wireless on a VPN. And, you know, it's an old computer that I was, I don't use anymore, that I was going to take out and shoot for practice. But I thought I could use it for something. So I'm using it for that. It's an old XP laptop that's really slow, but you don't need a fast laptop for hosting torrents because it's not memory intensive. It's hard drive intensive and throughput intensive, but it doesn't take a lot of computer. I have like one gig of RAM on that thing. So I use it for that.
Very good.
And I also use it if I am web surfing and looking at stuff that's not illegal, but I just don't want people knowing I'm looking at it, like porn or like, you know, doing research on things that, if you did research on them, it might put you on a list. I'm already on a million lists, but, and also I just like to use them sometime, but I'm not logged into anything when I do that. I'm not logged into Google. I open up, you know, in Firefox, the open private browser window, it doesn't save anything and it doesn't log you into anything automatically. Mm. I mean, they're really, they don't make you bulletproof, but they're just a little bit more, I wish more people used them, you know?
Just another thing in the toolkit, but you'd have to know how to use
it. Yeah.
Last question. You've knocked it out of the park and totally put me on the right track here, and I appreciate it. But I have to ask the blanket question. What didn't I ask? And is there anything that I should have asked that you're dying to tell people who are starting web pages not to do or to do or make sure to do? Tough one.
Yeah, the second part of that I might be able to address. I think I've answered it, but I could recap it in that light. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't build most of your online presence on someone else's ground, on someone else's .com. Decide whether you have something to say that's for the ages or if it's just for the moment. And if it's for the ages, maybe work toward solutions like I'm thinking of getting lots of people to save it and be able to torrent it rather than being kind of the throwaway pamphlet of the day. And there's value to the throwaway pamphlet of the day. I mean, the way I say it is, and I don't even like that term, but you know, the daily newspaper, like Free Talk Live are the daily newspaper of liberty. And that is as valuable as what I do. You know, Freedom Fiends, I think, are the great American novel of liberty. And I think one has more longevity than the other. First of all, like, we don't tend to talk about what's in the Twitter feed that much today. You know, we don't talk about, like, I write for this magazine called Talkers. It's like the Rolling Stone, or it's more like the Billboard, what Billboard magazine is to music, Talkers is to talk radio. And every day in there, one of the things they have on the front page is trending in talk today, or trending, I think it's once a week, trending in talk this week. And it's like, you know, Benghazi, you know, it's all these things that are like, they're not only trending in talk radio, they're trending on Fox News and MSNBC. You know, the four or five topics that everyone who thinks they can change the government is complaining about. And like, if you did trending in Freedom Fiends this week, you know, if you analyzed every topic we talked about, none of those, or very few of those, they're trending in all talk radio would be in ours. You know, trending in ours would be, you know, personal liberty, cats, firearms, and pork fest or something. I don't know. It wouldn't be, or, you know, like last night it was Lao Tzu. I mean, it's more for the ages. And I really like to make media that's more for the ages.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't end up being listened to in 500 years, like, I like to make stuff that feels like it's more for the ages. But, you know, if you go back and listen to a Freedom Fiends episode that's 3 years old, it's going to feel new. Whereas if you go back and listen to Alex Jones or Free Talk Live or, you know, Dollar Vigilante, you know, read Dollar Vigilante from 3 years ago, it's going to seem 3 years old because it's all talking about current events. And I don't like to do that.
I can actually
that much.
Verify that for the Fiends because I went back about a year and a half and listened to every episode leading up to today. And very true.
Yep.
There was no sense of time. Whatsoever, except for your passing comments on the news stories.
Whereas if you go back, you know, 40 years and look at a newspaper, it's going to look like it's today because it's going to be talking about, like, invading Afghanistan and fighting the Russians and government spying on people because it'll be Nixon.
Yeah.
50 years. Yeah. All right, man. I hope that helped.
Knocked it out of the park. Very happy. Thank you very much for these very thorough answers. I hope it's useful to a more universal audience, but is extremely useful to me.
Thanks, Terrence. It's been really
cool.
Thank
you very much, Michael.
Some wise words from a wise man. Me. We'll be back with more tomorrow live with Derek J. and Lysander Fien and myself on the Freedom Fiends. Worms.